What are we talking about?
That's a great question. What are we talking about? Well, we'll introduce you first. Vesa.
Sure.
Great to meet you.
No, you as well, Luke.
Great to see you at a conference, an NFT conference. This is your first, right?
Which well,
is
pretty much art focused and kind of this pop culture focused. This is the, yeah, it's pretty much the first one. And yeah. I've been around 500 crypto events, so it's about time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's because you're an artist, but you also, you've been a crypto artist for a long time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's your background there? Like,
well, I'm actually, I started with music as a kid. And then I went to filmmaking. So I became an educated film director and I had a production company for about a decade almost.
Okay.
And then in 2008, I got this crazy idea that what if I started body painting people and painting and photographing the whole process and putting it together with Photoshop, then I might have something new. Mm. So I landed up as a digital artist already nearly 20 years ago now. So that's kind of a thing. And because I needed the technology already 10 years before it was a thing, that's kind of how I landed very early in the Bitcoin art scene in 2016 and 17.
Okay, yeah, 2016. I remember there was a big, who was the person that you did, you had a massive, you did the body painting for?
Yeah, yeah, it was an actress called Veena Malik.
Okay.
Yeah, I sort of came out of a near-death experience from the hospital and I saw one of her interview videos and I resonated deeply with her story and I got in touch and then that started a two-year journey. And then in 2013, when we released this thing, which was about her life and the biggest story of humanity, we through Legacy Media alone, we've reached like 300 million people with the digital art project.
Wow.
So that's kind of the thing. But also because it was harder to monetize, I think I'm still on the minus from that project in terms of economics. Right. But it opened up a lot of doors. And that actually helped me also in the early crypto art scene because I'd done some, let's say, real world things. Mm-hmm. And that got me collectors and collaborations like Charles Hoskinson and Charlie Lee for the Litecoin Foundation and things like that. So
yeah, so you're very much coming into this from not the NFT background. It's very much the crypto background, artist background, but then like the Bitcoin kind of side of things.
Yeah, because I saw some documentaries about the monetary system in 2006 or so. Mm. So I became an artist and an entrepreneur and a money activist, interestingly. So I kind of understood what the problem was that Bitcoin was trying to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what attracted to me to doing crypto art to begin with, is that we tried to tell the story of Bitcoin and decentralization, and then of course utilize the technology, but really say why it was useful and what it was doing.
Mm.
So that's kind of how I landed into it. And then, but also NFTs, because of the digital originals, I realized that the originals were finally going to have a monetary value as well. So that it was from many different angles, it came together with crypto.
Yeah. And how have you seen it unfold? Like, what's been your take on the world of art moving into the digital space, moving into the NFT space? Like,
well, it's been a bumpy ride, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In many different ways. But if you look at it in terms of, let's say, how many bull and bear runs Bitcoin has had, we've just had the first run of NFTs or digital art in this space, and we've now experienced the bear. But I think that's how it's going to go for a while, that we're going to have the ups and downs a little bit like Bitcoin has, or crypto in general. And we're super just starting out with this whole thing.
Mm.
And it's going to be interesting. And I'm sticking around for it.
Yeah. Well, you've been around for a long time, right? So like you've already proven that.
Yeah, I guess.
But so for artists that are not in the space and they don't know anything about crypto or they don't know about anything about NFTs or digital assets, like, do you have any kind of words that you might say to them, like, that would encourage or discourage or, you know, just approach with caution or anything like that?
Well, it's more like, I'm a kid from the 80s. So I grew up with this Karate Kid movie called, and you know how they go wax on, wax off. You need to get your foundations before. And it's if you, like I started listening to Andreas Antonopoulos and the Bad Crypto podcast and those kinds of things very early on. And I understood what the foundation of it was, what problems it was trying to solve, and all of those different kinds of things. And once I understood the foundation, then it's easier to navigate. But there isn't really a shortcut to say, oh, be cautious or go into it or whatever. I think if you're going to do it smart, Every artist has their own take on the world and what it is that they want to express.
Mm.
And if you bring those together, there will be a space for you here in one way or another. But you become valuable, and it will become valuable to you if you actually get to understand what the technology is, or a little bit about money and investing and those kinds of things.
Mm.
And then it's easier to navigate.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So like the fundamentals of the technology are important as coming in. Like if they just come in and just mint something but not understand anything about the foundations of the technology and I suppose the philosophy around the technology and its roots.
Well, the problem, I think, from the beginning was that too many people did. They didn't understand it, and it was a lot of opportunity to kind of hype things up that necessarily weren't that valuable, and some things that were valuable were overlooked, and there are many kind of things that happened in the early run of it, and that, because of that, people have certain perceptions of what it is or it isn't.
Mm.
And that's why, again, it's like, well, you can't go into anything that you don't understand the foundation of. You can't become an artist overnight. You also need to learn about art, even though you might have talent and everything, but you still need to have a little bit of a perspective on the thing.
Mm.
Or in traditional investment terms, you don't just go and throw your money into something without understanding anything about it. So it's like there's no shortcut in that kind of a sense.
Mm.
But if there's something that resonates about it, and I think there are many, many reasons of why it should if you're an artist, then it's worth the ride.
Mm. Well, we were talking about this the other night, when we were in terms of like learning the historical traditions of art and where art has come from. Like, and can you sort of talk about how, well, what you were saying to me then?
Well, sure. I have maybe even a slightly longer lens than most in kind of looking at it. But let's say if the early hunter-gatherers or whoever, they were kind of having some strange experiences or transcendental experiences, they were trying to portray something that is not so easily captured about the human experience. And then they started doing cave paintings and all different kinds of things, and that evolved into the world of art. And let's say the churches and mosques and whatever, they understood that they could be very effective at communicating their message if they incorporated the art into the whole picture.
Mm.
But in that sense, as loaded of a word as spirituality is, inspiration comes from in spirit. So the foundation of art is somewhere that is in our transcendent experiences, and that's where it derives its value and power from. And I think in the modern society and the sort of very contemporary and postmodern world, we've lost that connection almost entirely. And I think that's a large part why many people have, for example, imposter syndrome.
Mm.
Because if you are aligned with art, it's something that you feel that comes through you. Of course, we use our brain and we put together our unique stories, but we sort of know that it doesn't belong to us, and it's not necessarily only generated by us. And we feel like thieves if we don't pay any, let's say, respect to it.
Mm.
And that's what I'd say. I'm not like, go to this religion or this whatever. That's not the thing. But just to understand, and maybe that really helps ground people and also in their expressions.
Mm. It's like a natural curve in an artist's journey, maybe, perhaps, to like start dabbling with art, discover that they have they're drawn to it, reach a certain point, and then go back and look more deeply into the past. I suppose in a technique way, but also in a sort of philosophical way, and then come back and then elevate art to the next level.
If you wrestle with the masters, you will become so much better, so much faster than if you try and reinvent the wheel and do it by yourself. And one way to maybe go back to the wax on, wax off thing a little bit is that I consider myself in the crypto space, let's say, a Bitcoin centrist. And what I mean by that is that if you have a mother, she's brought you to the world, even though she might have some flaws, you best have some respect for that.
Mm.
And that's my foundation to it. I'm not a maxi of anything in this kind of way, but if I understand and respect Bitcoin and that takes me on a journey, then all of a sudden you land somewhere that makes sense to you.
Mm. Great. I think this is a great thing to talk about.
For sure. No,
yeah.
It's like, but I just hope that there's going to be more of this grounding thing that people would experience with this. And then the hype cycles and the different kinds of things that push and pull you, they're not going to affect you as much if you do have a little bit of a solid ground to stand on. Whether you're a collector or a company or whoever wants to even collaborate with artists.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, it's the grounding of focus on the art rather than on the markets and the hype and getting whisked away. I mean, I think a lot, as you say, having a foundation in finance or investing. Like, I think a lot of people in the space come in were like, oh, this is like a casino.
Yeah.
And I think that happened in the NFT markets as well. And it happens in meme coins, and people are just throwing things around, making big mistakes, you know, accidentally making huge gains. And it's the Wild West. But I suppose actually, even coming out of that, that's the same sort of curve. You can come up and go, actually, there's something to learn here. Let's look back further in the past and then actually become a better investor, collector, whatever.
Well, I would say, like, for example, even though I have no issue with artists making money or even making a lot of money fast, but I saw in the early scene a little bit this phenomena where some people just barely started out and all of a sudden made quite a lot of money. And then they made the mistake of thinking that their talent and contribution was equal to the hype market. And then when things didn't really go sustainably like that, then there might have been quite a big disappointment. And some might have even quit the whole process because they made too much too fast. So in that sense, I'm a little bit built brick by brick. But of course, make some money, bro. You need to live. You know, exposure only gets you that much food from the grocery store, so be smart about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well, thanks very much, super interesting.
Thank you, Luke.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise.